C1SP. Number 5A.
So the first subject which we have considered this morning on the chapter on spiritualism has presented us with that controversial standpoint of spiritualism on one side and Christian Science on the other side, asking what is the basis of both, showing that Christian Science goes out from the standpoint that there is one mind, the divine mind, which is all, and therefore cannot be divided up in minds many, whereas spiritualism goes out from minds many, from the standpoint that the human mind can build up a universe in which then we live and move. That if the spiritualistic standpoint is taken, that we believe what we see with one's own mind and with our own physical senses, that then we build up a universe limited, finite, in character and quality. Whereas, if we only take as real, and always only real, that which we can deduce from the one mind, and only accept and believe as real, and accept as real that which is deduced from the divine mind, that then opens up a universe of the realm of spirit. Now, we come to the second subject, and the second subject takes up the line of reasoning of the first subject. If in the first subject we have seen that Christian Science is opposed, that spiritualism is the very contrary to Christian Science. See, that was the end of the first chapter, of the first subject. Therefore, that we see that there are two universes, the universe of the divine mind and the universe of human thinking and of the human mind. There is then the question, are both realms, are both universes real, or is it not so that the one realm, the realm of the divine mind and the realm of the human mind, can need each other or do need each other? Do they support each other? Do they necessitate each other? Do they not cooperate with each other? Or what? And so the first sentence on that next paragraph just makes it clear and begins with that statement, there is but one spiritual existence, the life of which corporeal sense can take no cognizance. He starts right in by showing now that we have that the universe of spiritualism and the universe of Christian Science are not really two universes which exist, but that only one of both has real existence. And that this one real existence is the spiritual. And so hints to the fact that the universe of spiritualism is elusive. Also, the question arises out of the first subject, if the universe of spiritualism is distinct and the opposite of the universe of Christian Science, is there then no medium by which we can reach the spiritual universe. The question is quite reasonable, that the reader thinks, well, if I'm living in my universe, the universe of my thinking, the universe of my perception, the universe of my sense testimony, and if that is opposed to the real universe of spirit, how can I commune with that real universe? Is there no medium, no communion, no link to reach this universe? And so the second subject has a lot to do with that sense of communion or mediumship. The question, how can I reach this one world, the spiritual existence, if in belief I am in a universe of opinions and human beliefs and human perception and human testimony? The spiritualists try to find a solution to this by proposing that through the material sense of existence and through death, through freeing oneself of the material sense of life, we reach the spiritual sense of life. Spiritualism, so to say, proposes two things always, namely life in and of matter. It's always that they propose that matter is the medium through which we can reach spirit, the spiritual, but that in order to be in touch with a spirit, that spirit must have first gone through what we call death. Only then, when it has gone through a experience called death, they have spirits. So, fundamentally, what Mrs. Eddy here presents in its general way is the impossibility that a material sense of existence can commune with a spiritual sense of existence. Now you get the tones, you see, the main tone of soul and life is here presented as spiritual sense of being, soul and life, against the false concept of soul and life, namely of a material sense of existence. And as the subject of spirit, she presents these two concepts of identity, the real concept of the eternal identities of being and the spiritualistic concept of the identities of existence, and shows that they never mingle in any shape and form. And through seven subtones then depicts in which way spiritualism believes that there is a communion or a mingling between the spiritual sense of existence and the material sense of existence. See, this is a very important question, because all of us have the desire to be familiar with the spiritual sense of existence. And the spiritualistic belief in us is that which tries through material means, like material knowledge, material cognizance, through material education, intellectual education, and so on, tries through material means to get hold, to be in communion, to touch the spiritual sense of existence. And so, the second subject will help us to see that the spiritual sense of existence can only be touched that the medium to touch the spiritual sense of existence is only spiritualization of life. She speaks here that she says a condition precedent to communion with spirit is the gain of spiritual life. So we begin to see at once the purity of the true concept of mediumship, if we will call it like this, of the method or medium or means of how to touch the spiritual sense of life. It says there is only one medium, and that is a medium which is in its nature the same as the spiritual sense of life, namely through spiritualizing our life. Now, this shows again, you see, this shows again the importance of the first three chapters which we have been considering. These first three chapters, as we were recapitulating also this morning, were showing that to approach God was through God's nature in prayer, that identifying oneself with God was through the ability which we had from God and not from the human. It wasn't a moral effort. And in marriage we saw that using and demonstrating human life must be based on spiritual qualities, on qualities which are pure in their And so those three chapters before were really depicting the medium by which we touch the final reality of spiritual being. It was through spiritualization of life. That's what she says here, a condition precedent, that which goes before, a communion with spirit. You see, there is a communion with spirit. Just as spiritualism asks a communion with spirits, so in Christian Science there is a communion, and must be a communion with spirit. And the question only is, the big question which must settle the claim of spiritualism is, what sort of medium do we need in order to commune with spirit? And the order of spirit says it must be of the same nature as spirit, and never through a foreign nature of spirit. So, when you are going to consider this second subject, have an eye on this question of communion. Because there are in this subject there are various statements in regard to communion, some of them very positive, some of them very negative, because it's always Christian Science and versus spiritualism. It's always the positive side and the negative side. It says there must be a communion with God. There must be a medium, a method, how to commune with God. But and the method which he showed is that spirit can only be that we only can commune with spirit through the signs of spirit, through the signs of prayer, through the signs of atonement and Eucharist, through the signs of marriage, where always spiritual qualities have been shown, the spiritual nature has been those means through which we approach God, identify ourselves with God, and demonstrate God. And here we have the explanation to know why it is so. So, she speaks about that communion from God to man, and also the communion from man to God in a positive sense. He says in the communion from God to man that the divine principle of man speaks through immortal sense, see, It uses the identities of being, soul and life, the immortal sense of being. The divine principle does commune with men, but it only communes with men through its own nature, namely through the spiritual sense of being. Or she says, in absolute science, soul or God is the only truth giver to men. You see, it's a truth giver. It's also a communion. How does God commune with men? And she says it's through soul, which is the only truth giver to men. See, the purity of and the order of spirit comes out more and more here, showing that spirit only expresses itself in its own nature, to its own nature, and as its own nature, to bring out its own nature. It always remains in its own nature. And everything that deviates from that is spiritualism. Or she says, in science, individual good derived from God, not derived from man, derived from God, the infinite all in all, may flow from the departed to mortals. See, here we touch one aspect of the proposition of spiritualism. Spiritualism confesses that the mortals have an influence on the living, on those still living. And here she says, yes, that's true insofar as only good, not evil, is communicable, and only that good is communicable which is derived from God, the infinite all in all. Now, few of you have perhaps experienced that or seen that in other experience, that sometimes if somebody who is spiritually awake and spiritually advanced, if that somebody passes on, that sometimes one has a feeling for the days or hours afterwards as if spiritual good and peace and rest and quietude and calm would just flow over one's consciousness and spread and pervade a peace and a certainty and joy, as a sign that really individual good derived from God may flow on those moments of transition from the departed to those still living here. She also says that another communicator is the divine law. She says the divine law is the communicator of truth, health, and harmony to earth and humanity. It is the communicator, here is the divine law. We see it's always a sense of the signs of God, in whatever form it is presented. Either it is presented as speaking through immortal sense, which is a factor of the signs of spirit, or that soul is the truth giver, truth with a small t, or that it is the individual good derived from God, again, a scientific deduction, or it is the divine law, is the communicator of truth, health, and harmony to earth and humanity. So, in this way, she shows that there is the possibility of communication between God and man, or between the real identities of being and men. Then, on the other side, there is the communication between men and God, just as I have read before, a condition precedent to communion with spirit. That which is able, from our part of view, to approach and commune with spirit is through the medium of gaining spiritual life through prayer, atonement, Eucharist, and marriage. We spiritualize thought and action. As we saw yesterday, marriage was the word as Christianity, the word of God wedded to all human thought and action. That spiritualizes. All that is the medium. That's the true medium with which we are deprived more and more and weaned away more and more from the material sense of existence, soul and life. Weaned away, spirit, the overtone of spirit, weaned away from the material sense of existence, and thereby, through this second subject, we commune and get nearer and closer to the science of spirit. Then, going over this second subject, we find a lot of statements depicting the false sense of communion. Namely, the sense which spiritualists have. And under spiritualists, I understand every one of us. Namely, that we can, that a material sense of life can be the channel through which we touch and understand and experience and demonstrate the spiritual sense of life. It says, so-called spirits, you see, spiritualism believes that spirits are those, is that medium through which mortals can commune with immortality. That there is a communication between a mortal sense of life and an immortal sense of life through the medium of spirits. Whereas Christian Science, to repeat it, presents that there is no communication between a mortal sense of life with an immortal sense of life, but in order to reach the immortal sense of life, we have the medium of spiritualizing our concept of life, and that is the scientific medium. She says, a sinning earthly mortal cannot be the medium. She says that not personal intercommunion is possible, that spirit does not commune with mortals through electricity or any other form of matter, nor through hypnotism, nor through theosophy, nor through any other form of matter. So, in this way, this second subject, as you see, presents a very different aspect compared with the first subject. It has to do with the sense of communion. And you will also notice that the term through occurs very, very often. That it is a sense, and again, that term through is used in a positive and in a negative sense. That she says that the divine principle of man speaks through. Through what? Immortal sense. But in most cases she shows that what spiritualism believes is that the spiritual speaks through its opposite. That the spiritual speaks through the material, that the divine mind speaks through mortal mind, that the dead speak through spirits to the living, that there is a bridge between the dead and the living, and so on. There is a lot of this term through. Just to point out again that sense, what is presented here, that spiritualism believes in a medium, whereas Christian Science doesn't believe in a medium, but in a method. It believes in a method of life which is unfolding the spiritual sense of life by laying down a material sense of life. So to summarize this subject, as you see, I will not have time to go now through the various paragraphs, but I just give you the main tone. To summarize it here, we always have to go back somehow to the subject before to see the the position. The subject before showed that there is a realm of the divine mind, God's universe, and the spiritualistic realm, the realm of the human belief. So the question arises, but do these two realms communicate? Am I excluded from the realm of God or not? Is there no link, no medium through which God reaches me? And she says, yes, there is a medium through which God reaches me, but that medium is spiritual. It is of the nature of the signs of spirit. God does commune with men, with the earth and humanity, with mortals, she says, that it comes to mortals, to men, to earth and humanity, but that it comes through what medium? It always comes through a medium which is of the same nature as God. Namely, she says, it comes through immortal sense, it comes through soul, the truth giver of men, it comes through the individual good derived from God, it comes through divine law, it comes through God's control, and lastly, she also says, it comes through the divine order. See, when she gives a positive sense, there are always mediums which are of the same nature as God. So we get, and that really is the sense of divine order. You see, the sense of divine order means that nothing goes out of the purity of order, that nothing goes out of order, that spirit remains in its own nature. That spirit being spirit can only manifest itself, pronounce itself, communicate itself as spirit. And therefore, through spiritual means, through spiritual laws, through spiritual truth, through spiritual sense, through immortal sense, and so on. Whereas spiritualism comes and proposes a medium which is always foreign to spirit. Through dead people, through spirits, through material sense, through electricity, through matter, by table tapping and rapping or so. Something like that. Well, you know it better, all those spiritualistic phenomena. And so it gives the sense, because spirit is the all-pervading, it has a big sense of all-pervadingness of spirit in it, that saying, well, if spirit pervades all space and all time, then there is no other element in this reality but the spiritual. The end of it is, I must read that, is, if spirit or God communed with mortals or controlled them through electricity or any other form of matter, the divine order and the signs of omnipotent, omnipresent spirit would be destroyed. That's really the aim of spiritualism, that it will dethrone the omnipotence of spirit. It wants to make spirit finite. That's always the thing. The moment we make spirit finite, we are spirits. Well, that's what we do with ourselves. The moment we make our origin finite, we believe in spiritualism. The moment we make the origin and cause of our abilities and faculties and possibilities and the length of our life finite, we believe in spiritualism. The moment our spiritual origin and authority and cause and nature and substance is made finite in our consciousness, we are believing in spirits. And we dethrone man to spirits. Yes, I will summarize this quickly. I will just quickly go through the seven subtones in a summary to show the claim of spiritualism in regard to this sense of mediumship or communion. First, she shows as mind, she shows that spiritualism claims that the material sense of life can take cognizance, can cognize, can understand, can know, you see, can know a spiritual sense of life. That's the first thing we have to discard. That spiritualism believes that a material sense of life, you see, the opposite of a spiritual sense of life, can know, can take cognizance of the spiritual sense of life. And the second point is that spiritualism claims that as we progress spiritually, that the material sense of life unites more and more with the spiritual sense of life. See, the spiritualists believe that as we progress more and more, especially through dying, that we come nearer and nearer to a spiritual sense of life. Whereas in Christian Science we just see the opposite. We see that as we progress spiritually, we go away, we are more and more separated by progress from a material sense of existence. Well, one can see how spiritualism really is always narrowing itself into nothingness. That the plan of spiritualism is always to narrow, 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 narrow until you have nothing left. Then in Soul she shows that spiritualism claims that this spiritual sense of life can manifest itself through its opposite. Perfection can manifest itself through imperfection. That life can manifest itself through a dead. That the only then we can get hold of something of the eternal life through somebody who has died or so. So it's always a sense that something can express itself through its opposite. That the opposite of something can be the representative of its original. Then spiritualism, as in the tone of principle, claims that persons, the corporeal persons, the personalities, can be the communicator of good and evil. I think we very often believe in that, that persons can be the communicator of good and of evil. They can't. They can't. There is only one communication, and that is from God to men through divine laws, not through personalities. Then in life, it is shown that spiritualism claims that the so-called dead, a dead person, a spirit, is really the transparency for spirit and God. That the medium to reach spirit is by dying. That those who have died come closer to spirit than those who are living. See, whereas Christian Science says, oh no, we come closer to spirit by spiritualizing, here or hereafter. The spiritualists always must have a hereafter. The here is not very interesting and not very important for them. The hereafter is nearer to life. Whereas in Christian Science we see no, it is here or hereafter, but we always approach life more and more by spiritualizing life. Then in the subtone of truth, she shows that spiritualism claims that the dead can dominate the living, that the dead have dominion over the living. And really, those who believe a little bit in spiritualism experience that very often, that the dead dominate them as long as they live. Or that those who have passed on before them are drawing them to death, are drawing them to their state of passing on. And so often these people wither away too early and die, just because there is that sense that the dead can dominate the living. It's something which one sees quite often the moment one has to do with a patient who had some affinity with somebody of close relations who believed in spiritualism. And lastly, it shows that spiritualism really claims that it can destroy the divine order of spirit. Really, that's the final blow that spiritualism would like to strike, namely to destroy the omnipotence and omnipresence of spirit, and to deny that. Well, you have many nice long evenings to ponder these things. Yes? Because they are our life. There's nothing more important than our life and our life history. And all these subjects are the structure of men, are the structure of men's life. And if one just takes the text as it is and draws the conclusions, one is quite astounded how much we believe in spiritualism. And not only that we believe in spiritualism, but that we suffer from the effects of believing in spiritualism. We suffer very much. So let me go to the third subject of soul. The third subject of soul gives now a further aspect of spiritualism and also of science. It shows, from the point of view of Christian Science, it shows that the identities of being, which are spiritual, that these identity of being which are spiritual are unchangeable, that they cannot lose their identity, that there is no fall away from that state of being an eternal, distinct identity. The belief is, and that's the original belief of most religions, that once man was perfect, that therefore once the identity of being was perfect, but then through some incident, man has fallen, and has fallen, you see, that's the tone of soul. Soul never falls. Soul is in equilibrium, unchangeable, and the sense that we can lose our identity is a false sense of soul, that we can fall from our true identity is a false sense of soul. So, I said, most religion then believe that then man has fallen and has lost the spiritual, perfect identity of being, and has assumed a material, sinning, decaying, discordant state of existence. Now, this is one of the main claims of spiritualism, that we can progress and then afterwards regress. That we can go forward for a while and then afterwards we go back. It's going forward and then backward. And so here Mrs. Eddy tackles that belief in spiritualism which believes in false transformation. Spirit is true translation, reformation, which is always, from the human standpoint, a forward transformation. From the absolute standpoint, the unchangeability of the identities of being. And against that is the belief in spiritualism, which says, oh no, there are all sorts of transformations. You can transform a living into a dead. Through dying, one living here becomes dead. And then on the other side, they say, and through dying, that material body becomes a spirit. So it transforms matter into spirit. And then when it has died and become a spirit, then they transform it for the special seances and put on again material investitures in order to be cognizable and cognizable by the senses. See, it's a complete model of transformation of forward and backward and upward and downward and I don't know what. Always transforming matter into spirit, spirit into matter, one after the other. The living into the dead and the dead coming back to the living and so on. And against this disordered transformation, you see, spirit has only is order, and that order is irreversible. The order of spirit is always irreversible. I think John Dolly used to say there is no backward gear in the order of spirit. That's the tone which he presents here. In the order of spirit, that's the overall tone of the chapter, spirit. And soul says there is no backward gear, no backward transformation. The order is definite, namely it's always towards the spiritual. It's either reformation towards the spiritual, or then it is the divine order, which shows that spirit is unchangeable and never changes into its opposite. So here, when reading the text, we can't help feeling that what she is talking or presenting now is something very different than in the first or second subject. One can't help seeing that she constantly speaks about the sense of transformation. This sense of transformation, which I quite agree, rests on the second subject which we considered before, namely that there is no communion between spirit and matter. The moment we see that there is no communion between spirit and matter, we can have no transformation from the spiritual to the material. That's quite clear, you see. That's why very often intertwined in the text, she recapitulates that statement that there is no communion between spirit and matter, just to give always again the reason why a backward transformation is not possible. She speaks about that false sense of transformation, of transforming matter into spirit, into spirits, or then of the false sense of transformation, of transforming spirit into matter, a return transformation, and says that even in nature such an order is not possible, that even nature teaches us through symbolism and hints the divine law. That nature here gives us a hint, even though nature is a counterfeit of the divine nature, it shows that there is no backward transformation even in nature, that an acorn already absorbed in a sprout cannot be restored to its original condition, or that the caterpillar transformed into a beautiful insect is no longer a worm, nor does the insect return to fraternize with or control the worm. You see, that tone of transformation, of returning and of regressing and so on, is now handled. Now, that's something very necessary. In many ways, there is something impregnated in the human mind and in mortal mind which believes in backward transformation, which believes that we are young and that we are prosperous and that we go forward until we have a certain age and then it turns and that we go backward until we are childish again and can no more walk and can no more eat and I don't know what. It's a backward transformation. We believe that the identities of being, that the spiritual sense of life can be turned backward again into a material sense of life. We believe that we build up a business and we fear that sometimes that some day may come when that business is going back. We believe that we get more and more strength and health and that we believe that sometime there may happen something and we may lose that health and that joy and so on. See, it's always always a sense in the human mind which is spiritualistic in its deepest nature, which believes in retrogression, in going backward, in losing something, that the order of spirit is not an eternal order of progress. And that belief must be tackled.